From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, July 10th, 2018. And on this day, DHHS Commissioner Ricker Hamilton testifies before the State Government Oversight Committee on issues in the state's child welfare system. And Maine Senator Susan Collins on the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Senator Susan Collins says the Supreme Court nomination process has become hyper-political and could damage public confidence in the courts. Collins' comments come just a day after President Trump announced his nomination of federal judge Brett Kavanaugh. Mal Leary has more.
Collins says she's been amazed and upset by the intense politicization of the Kavanaugh nomination. She says as soon as Justice Anthony Kennedy announced his retirement, she was bombarded by requests that she take an immediate position.
There are people on both sides of the aisle who actually wanted me to take a position for or against the nominee when we didn't even know the identity of the nominee.
Collins says such polarization will only hurt the court's credibility with the public. She reiterates her position that the right to an abortion is a bedrock consideration and an issue that she will discuss privately with Judge Kavanaugh.
What I'm seeking is a nominee who will respect long-established precedents and who will demonstrate a fidelity to the rule of law and to the Constitution.
Collins says while she respects the strongly held views by those that are urging her to vote for or against, she will make an independent judgment on the Kavanaugh nomination. And she rejects the claim by some that her decision will be based on political concerns and on her reelection campaign 2 years from now.
People who are claiming that this vote is going to be a political vote for me are obviously distorting my record.
Collins says she has voted both for and against various nominees of Republican presidents, as well as Democratic presidents, and will not make a decision on this nominee until after the Senate Judiciary Committee holds hearings. And she has had a chance to meet privately with Kavanaugh and review his record on the federal bench. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Governor Paula Page is working on a bill that he says will improve Maine's child protection system. That's according to State Commissioner of the Department of Health and Human Services, Ricker Hamilton, who told the Government Oversight Committee today that the bill will address a range of issues that came to light after the deaths of two children last winter from abuse. Patty White has more.
Commissioner Hamilton had been asked to appear before the committee, but citing confidentiality and political reasons, Governor LePage denied the request. Hamilton's presence on Tuesday came after the committee issued a subpoena. Though the lead-up to the meeting may have been contentious, once it was underway, the tone was cordial, even as Hamilton disagreed with Democratic Senator Bill Diamond's overall assessment that Maine's child protection system is broken.
No, Senator, I think we're challenged and stressed at the moment. I think we're doing the best that we can.
Diamond told Hamilton that he's received numerous comments that DHHS fails to follow up on reports of suspected abuse and neglect.
My biggest concern is that there's a whole bunch of kids that get lost between the time they're reported and the time that they should be dealt with. And in fact, too many of them are not being dealt with. It's that black hole in between the report and when somebody from HHS would work and try to find out what's really going on.
Hamilton acknowledged that child welfare is receiving a historic number of referrals, with intake workers fielding about 50,000 calls annually. But he assured the committee that a forthcoming bill from Governor LePage would improve the state's child protection system on multiple fronts, first by adding about 75 caseworkers.
The intent is to have an additional assessment unit with a supervisor within every single district office.
As well as an additional intake unit. The bill would also increase caseworkers' compensation, which is currently around $18 to $24 an hour. It would also fund an upgrade to the state's computer system to better track cases. Hamilton says the bill also looks beyond the department to mandated reporters in the community who would be subject to a civil penalty for failing to report suspected cases of abuse and neglect.
We know after 50 years that that mandatory reporting law isn't working. It's not effective. Is there some other way to make it effective?
Aside from the bill, Hamilton says other changes are already underway within the system. Some low-risk cases that were referred to outside agencies have now been brought back under state oversight. And a new policy requires that cases automatically be assigned for investigation the third time a report is made about a child.
Of those cases, once they reach three, that nearly 20% of those cases, once we went and looked at them, had abuse and neglect concerns. It didn't present that at intake.
Committee co-chair Democratic Representative Anne Marie Mastracchio questioned Hamilton about what the department is doing in terms of prevention. Hamilton told her that the state has invested an unprecedented amount of money in child abuse and neglect counsels, as well as in treatment for substance use disorders. But Mastracchio challenged the claim.
As a legislator, I have not seen that investment in early childhood and in our families. I've seen it decrease, whether it's through decrease in feeding kids and decreases in TANF. For me, there are reasons that families are stressed, and families that are in poverty are stressed.
Hamilton says the department is developing a community intervention program to support families, and that Governor LePage's bill will be released soon. In the meantime, the Government Oversight Committee will continue its scrutiny of the child protection system, with additional reports expected from the independent watchdog agency OPEGA. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Some Maine lobster dealers who have seen sales to China shoot up over the last decade are now suddenly shut out. Late last week, China more than doubled tariffs on lobster from U.S. sources, one salvo in the emerging trade war between the two countries. But as Fred Bever reports, the lobster industry as a whole, and lobstermen in particular, are trying to take it all in stride.
Michael Marceau watches workers pack lobster on the chilly floor of his Arundel business, the Lobster Company. Until last week, up to 15,000 pounds of live lobster a day were run through these water tanks, weighed, and put in shipping containers bound for tables in China.
We were gearing up for a really big year.
With sales of Maine-harvested lobster to China so far this year tripling over the same period last year, a renovation to increase the plant's holding capacity had been underway.
See that uncompleted section of pipe? Well, with that, when it was all done, we'd have been over 100,000, but we don't have to finish that now.
That's because China's tariff on live lobster now stands at 40% and 35% on processed lobster. It's a major price barrier for sales to Chinese buyers who can get the same species from Canadian harvesters with only a 7% tariff.
This is instant pain, a hand grenade. It's not going to be good.
Steph Netto is Marceau's wife, chief salesperson, and co-owner of the business, which employs about 18 people while taking product from dozens of lobstermen up and down the coast.
I mean, I sell 50% of my lobsters in mainland China. The last order I shipped was last Tuesday. We might live through this fall. We won't live through next winter.
The situation has Maine's congressional delegation on alert. Senator Angus King spent some time with lobstermen down east just before China announced the tariff.
And what I heard was pretty unsettling. And it could significantly impact the price of lobsters, which in turn will impact lobstermen directly.
But some lobstermen think this is more of a problem for the dozen or so dealers who sell to China, and less so for harvesters on the water.
It's not one of the bigger issues facing us right now.
Kristen Porter is president of the Maine Lobstermen's Association, reached shipboard as he was chasing baitfish off the coast. He says while the China market has been growing fast this past decade, it's still a relatively small portion of the overall lobster catch, and a dent in sales shouldn't depress prices at the dock. Lobstermen, Porter says, are more worried about other things, such as whether regulators may force expensive gear changes to protect the endangered North Atlantic right whale.
Well, of course, whales, bait, two of the big things, you know, that just the economics of the industry. But, I mean, as far as, you know, the China thing, I'm you know, I guess we're going to have to wait and see.
Lobstermen and dealers agree that the situation can be balanced somewhat by redoubled efforts to sell more lobster to Americans, as well as abroad, outside of China. But for dealers, one task will be to maintain connections with Chinese partners and logistical pathways. Jeff Bennett is an analyst at the Maine International Trade Center, which says Maine sold at least $57 million worth of lobster to China last year, a number some observers say significantly understates that market.
I mean, it's too big a market just to walk away from Asia, for sure, and I don't think we can with China. So we're going to continue to work with the relationships we've had in China for a long time.
Back at the lobster company in Arundel, Steph Netto says her longtime buyer in China is sending her crying face emojis while forging new relationships with Canadian dealers. She says dealers here soon will be, quote, beating each other's brains in, competing to unload product that would otherwise have gone to China. And she has slim hopes for a political solution.
If the Democrats don't take over the House and the Senate, I don't see that there's any impetus that the current government wants to change this. I mean, this is stupid. It's like taking a sledgehammer to world trade.
Netto says there will be times in the year when Chinese demand could outweigh the tariffs, but not enough to keep the business as it's been. And that, she says, will likely mean layoffs and could force her to buy fewer lobsters from boats that the company's depended on for decades. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, July 10th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.